This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Jay Glazer put out on X yesterday, and then on Fox, he said, big scoopage. Aaron Rodgers flew to New Jersey. He met with New Jets brass, and they told him that...
Get lost, you loser.
Basically, yes, they are moving on from him. He will not be the quarterback for the Jets in 2025. I didn't want him back. I totally understand the side of the argument of who's the alternative. If you want to win this year, you run it back with him. You're probably not going to get someone better than him. But the reasons why I think they're doing the right thing is, one, with a new regime and the problems that the Jets have had about who is in charge, who is the alpha male, turning this thing around. It makes Aaron Glenn's that job that much harder if Aaron Rodgers is in that building. And let's not forget, just because he played a few good games healthy at the end of the season, this guy has been hurt 90% of the time that he's been here. He got hurt with the Achilles, obviously missed the entire season. Came back, he was dealing with that hamstring injury you told us about, did not look the same. He fought through it, to his credit, but he looked horrible for a majority of the season, and he even looked horrible in that Bills game before, you know, towards the end of the season, too. So, what's that? You got Phil Simms on the phone?
Yeah, he's calling me. Yeah, what can I do for you, Phil?
You're on the air, Phil.
Phil.
Phil's calling you while the show's
going? The guy, Phil, is down at the desk. He's not letting Phil move.
Phil.
I can go get Phil.
Yeah, so Al Dukes is going to come and get you, so hang in there.
Oh, my gosh. I mean...
All right, good, okay. That's fine. All right, he's coming.
Yeah. I mean, does he know that you're doing the show?
Yeah, but I told him to text me, but he didn't text me. He called me. But I knew because of the way this whole thing is structured...
There was going to be problems.
That there were going to be problems. I knew that.
Yeah.
I 100% knew that.
Yeah.
And I know you were in your soliloquy about Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. And
I mean, you had
else.
To pick up Phil, yeah.
But I had to pick up
you Phil. You had to. I totally understand. I was confused at what was going on. But now I know. Phil's down there and he's trapped in the lobby. So we will go and save him.
Oh, my gosh.
But yeah, so those are the reasons why I think that they're doing the right thing. The fact that you think he's going to come back and be healthy if you're someone who loves Aaron Rodgers. And also, you're not going to win next year. Like, this thing needs to be rebuilt from the ground up. And obviously, you've got some talent on the team, but you're in the AFC and you got a lot of work to do. A lot of work to do to be able to compete with the best teams in this conference. So if next year your goal was to go 8-9, 9-8, maybe have a shot to make the playoffs, then okay, you keep Aaron Rodgers around. That's not the goal. The goal is to change the culture, change that building, and have a real leader in Aaron Glenn do it, and it makes it harder when Aaron Rodgers is in the building.
Yeah, I'm just from Aaron Rodgers' perspective for 1 second.
Sure.
You know, he took a lot less money to come here. And they flew out to see him 2 years ago around this time. And all of that has changed. It all changed when he hurt his Achilles that first game and never truly came back. And then the impetuous, impatient owner decides to fire the coaching staff in the middle of the season. And they never really find their footing. He never found his footing. And it's really unfortunate. You know, there'll be plenty of quarterbacks to choose from for the Jets. And there'll be probably a few teams that may want to bring Aaron Rodgers in. You know, that may be the case. I would think that given the fact that there are probably five or six teams that would love to have a guy like that, I don't know if the Giants would do something like that, even if they draft Shedeur Sanders or something like that. You remember, like, Malik Nabers said, hey, I want a veteran in there.
Yeah. You know,
but again, what is Aaron Rodgers going to want to be paid? That's another aspect of all of this.
Oh, sure. And I think Aaron Rodgers has shown, though, that he will work on his salary and make it work for a team that wants him because he wants to play. I mean, that's why he's coming back. He's not coming back to make the money if he's going to play this year. He's coming back because he doesn't want to end his career with these last 2 years, and he feels like there's something there, and he loves the game, and he knows that once he walks away, it's over, and he's got the rest of his life to do whatever else he wants to do.
And so I would just say that three of the teams at the top of the draft all need quarterbacks, and maybe they'll draft quarterbacks. I don't know. We'll you know, time will tell us that. And then, you know, where is there a team that, you know, if they add him, maybe, just maybe, they have a chance? Can you think of one? I mean, the Giants.
And when you say have a chance to win it all, or have a chance to go to the playoffs?
I don't think that team is out there right now to win it all. If they add him, they're not winning at all.
Okay.
I mean, in the AFC.
So that's what I'm saying. So have a chance.
Look at the gauntlet of quarterbacks you have to go through in the AFC.
Yeah. So when you say have a chance, what do you mean? So I can better answer your question. Have a chance to make the playoffs?
Could he go? Could he go to Minnesota?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so. What do you? So answer my question. What do you mean by have a chance? So
I mean, have a chance. I mean, like, anything can happen. I mean, just have a chance to get a winning team and get your team into the playoffs.
All right. I don't think that they would take him in Minnesota. I really don't. I really think that what they want to do is everything that they have done to this point, which is draft a quarterback, have that guy in a rookie salary, and build a team around him. And they're going to do that with J.J. McCarthy this year. So I don't think that. I think they'll go to the Raiders. Now, I understand he's in one of the toughest divisions in football there, but, I mean, if Tom Brady knows a thing or two about getting a veteran quarterback in a new place and having success, and Pete Carroll's going to, you know, he's
in the 70s. He's going to want to win now. He's going to want a presence at quarterback. That's why I say that, look, the Rams need to redo Matthew Stafford's contract. That whole thing out there in L.A. is about Matthew Stafford wanting a new contract. He has the opt-out right now.
Mm-hmm.
He will opt out, and, he's going to want like a three-year, $150 million contract at the age of 37. So either he stays there with the Rams or he ends up getting traded to the Raiders, where, you know, maybe Pete Carroll, you know, had seen him, you know, for all these years. And I'm telling you, Pete's going to want some sort of presence at quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a good landing spot.
Pittsburgh?
I know we've talked about that. But once again, we're talking about the AFC.
I would just think about this.
Talking about two teams.
You got Kansas City, Mahomes, Buffalo, Allen, Lamar Jackson in Baltimore, C.J. Stroud in Houston, Justin Herbert for the Chargers. Steelers are open right now. Broncos have Bo Nix. Bengals have Joe Burrow. I guess Indianapolis is going to run it back with Richardson. I don't know.
But Aaron Rodgers is not going to go to that team.
Not going there. Dolphins, you know, have Tua. The Jets are open. Jacksonville has Trevor Lawrence. New England has Drake May. The Raiders are open. Cleveland is open. And Tennessee is open. And those two teams have high draft picks.
Yeah, I mean, that's the AFC, and
all right, so now in the NFC, you got the Lions, no. Eagles, no. Bucks, no. Rams, depending on what goes on with Matthew Stafford. Vikings, you say no. Commanders, of course, no. Packers, no. Seattle Seahawks, you know, could that be a chance?
It could be.
Atlanta Falcons, no. Arizona Cardinals, what goes on there.
I don't see him going to the Cardinals. I mean, if he goes to the Cardinals, he's basically two-thirds of the way to being you.
All right.
Well, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Cowboys.
Jets and Cardinals.
Yes, I know. Cowboys, no. 49ers, no. Bears, no. Panthers? No, you're not going. I can't see what Carolina. No, Panthers, no way. Saints?
No.
With Kellen Moore?
No. I don't think so.
They're going to stay with Derek Carr?
Why would he want to go there?
Is he bringing John Gruden with him?
That would be great if that were the case. But if I'm the Saints, I'd be interested, but I don't think he'd want to go there. I think they're too far away.
And Giants.
And you don't want to go there either. Yeah, I don't know. I guess the Steelers would be the best option.
I mean, you literally have very few teams to think, you know, to pick from that that are decent and may be looking for a veteran quarterback.
Before the game, it was reported by Jay Glazer that the Jets and Aaron Rodgers had met, that Aaron Rodgers flew out to meet with the Jets. I think it was on Tuesday or earlier in the week. And he was informed, and they came to the conclusion that the Jets would be better off moving on from Aaron Rodgers. So it's not official yet. The New York Jets haven't made any statement, nor has Aaron Rodgers. But the reports are the Jets believe it's in their best interest to move forward without Aaron Rodgers. And I think it is an absolute hideous decision. I don't understand it at all. And let's get into it a little bit on the different ramifications of it. One, like, who else is going to play quarterback? Can we start there? Because the idea that, you know, and it's kind of been reported as Tyrod Taylor could be the quarterback of this team moving forward. This team is talented enough that if Aaron Glenn is the type of coach we see that he can be, if he is going to be a leader of men, if he's going to be somebody who cleans up the nonsense and holds players accountable and is actually a coach on the sidelines, with this roster and with that quarterback, this team can be far better. And this team needs to win football games, plain and simple. And this head coach that everybody loves now, wait until he gets into a year and he's dealing with everything that comes with being the New York Jets head coach that apparently he's very well versed in. Wait until he gets underway with the New York Jets and a team that, one, is unhappy about losing the quarterback, because if you didn't see, Quinnen Williams, the star defensive player, sent out two different tweets. One of them he took down, but two different tweets after the news broke. And he said, oh, I guess another rebuild for me. And he took that tweet down, but there are screenshots of it. He put it out there. I guess another rebuild for me, with an unhappy face emoji. And then he put a thumbs down. And that one he hasn't rescinded. They are not happy about this. This roster wants to win. The Jet fans want to win. They need to end this playoff drought desperately. They need a positive season for this young rookie head coach and this young GM in Darren Mugi and the young offensive coordinator in Tanner Engstrand. Like, they need stability. And for all the stuff that Aaron Rodgers does bring with him that's extra and outside of football and some of it nonsense, he does bring stability at the most important position in football. And wait until this young head coach enters a clubhouse and a locker room that don't know him, and the first decision that he's made, assuming he's made it, and that's what we heard, it was going to be a coach's decision, that the coach and the GM were going to talk about it, they were going to make their decision. They certainly didn't make you feel all warm and fuzzy about the idea of keeping Aaron Rodgers at the press conference. Oh, we'll talk about it. It will be discussed. It will be discussed. Not, hey, he's a four-time Super Bowl winner and a four-time MVP. Yeah, I mean, I'm very excited at the idea of him being on the team, but we have to discuss it. That's very easy to say if you're interested. Instead, they don't say anything, and now he's going to have to take over a group, right? Probably now without Devontae Adams, because that's going to go with it, because why keep Devontae Adams? And a group of a bunch of talented players who are going to get paid in the next few years or look to get paid in the next year or two, who are looking at another rebuild dead in the face because they don't have a quarterback and they're going to be unhappy. You've got an owner who probably has expectations because he has no idea what's going on. A fan base that's waiting for some stability and change in this organization, and you're going to throw out quarterbacks who can't win. We've seen this before with the New York Jets. It makes no sense. He's under contract already. Reports are he was willing to work with his contract. He was willing to figure out a way to make it less punitive this year. And they'd be able to go out there and make additions or pay Adams. And Adams probably would have been willing to restructure a contract. Now, I know eventually you pay for that, but you need to break this playoff drought and you need to give this rookie organization now, with a rookie head coach, a rookie GM, rookie offensive coordinator, you need to give them some wind behind their sails so that the fan base doesn't turn on them the first sign of choppy waters, because that's what this fan base has no other choice but to do with the way they've been treated. I got to sit around and hope this coach, like if they lose, he's a loser. That's how it works. Now, I will say, I do understand, because there is the other side of this, and I heard Connor Hughes talking about this on SNY, and I said the same thing. The one thing that would concern you slightly about bringing back Rodgers is that you do have a young head coach, and you do have a young and inexperienced offensive coordinator. And there's no doubt they have to establish themselves with the team as the leaders of the team, clearly. And when you're doing that, if you have a Hall of Fame 40-year-old, four-time MVP quarterback, there are some realities of him being different than the other 52 members of the team. There is some inherent reality that you would have to deal with him having a different relationship with the coaching staff, with the organization. And Aaron Rodgers would have to be willing to buy in. If for what, and he would have to be willing to allow them to have the leadership roles. He would have to understand he's not in the same situation he was with the organization that he was 2 years ago when he first came in as the proposed savior. And even last year where he was hurt and we still hadn't seen him play and seen the team be unsuccessful with him as quarterback, and he was still leading the franchise in many ways because he had the same head coach. He had the same, obviously, friend in offensive coordinator. This would be a different situation. He's been here 2 years. He's been injured for all of one, and he failed in the second. He would have to understand that his role inside the organization is different, and he's going to have to acquiesce many things to this new head coach and this new offensive coordinator. So if in the meeting, these discussions went to the point, and again, I don't know, I'm not there, I don't know what happened when they discussed things, but if Aaron Rodgers was unwilling to play ball, which I find hard to believe, because I don't know where else he's going. If he's willing, I think Jay Glazer said it in the cut that I heard, if he's willing to fly out to them on his own private jet and money, and apparently that's what happened, he clearly wants to play, and he clearly wants to be a Jet. So I would think he'd be willing to give, but if he's not, and Aaron Glenn got the sense that he is going to have a tough time building a culture that he wants to establish with a 52-man team plus a diva quarterback, I suppose I can understand it, but I would like to think, one, that Aaron Rodgers would, once the season starts, play ball, and two, that Aaron Glenn fancies himself as the kind of leader who could handle that situation, especially when we see the team, like Quinnen Williams, like other defensive players who've been on the record over the last week, talking about how much they want Aaron Rodgers, and they don't want the rebuild. They've been rebuilding for their entire Jet career. And now this organization is going to head into this year, going into their 15th, 16th season of not making the playoffs with almost no hope, with no quarterback. It's just, it doesn't make any sense to me. And my one fear, and this is the fear that you have to have as a New York Jet fan. And there were rumors that the relationship, now they're Peter Schrager in specific, railed against these rumors and said that they are over-dramatic and not accurate, but there are rumors that the owner and Aaron Rodgers and Woody Johnson and Aaron Rodgers have had a strained relationship to the point that Woody Johnson wants no part of him. We've heard GMs who interviewed for the job at Radio Row ask that question about whether or not they got the indication that Woody Johnson had no interest in keeping Aaron Rodgers, and they all say no, he was fair, he asked our opinions, but no, so I don't know. And then we're hearing Peter Schrager say it's overblown, that the relationship was poor. But my only concern, and it's anytime with the Jets, with what happened and all the stories we heard last year, and him wanting to bench Rodgers after the game in Denver, him making decisions based on Manning ratings, all the stuff that we have heard over the last, however, since he's owned the team, but specifically of the last handful of years since he's returned from London, this had to be an Aaron Glenn decision. Even more so than Darren Mooji, because Glenn was the hire. Glenn was the guy they have chosen to lead this franchise. They found a GM that they liked and that could work with AG, but AG's the man. And he better be the one behind this decision. Because he told me it's going to be a football decision. And I'm not saying I know football as well as Aaron Glenn. I don't. But Aaron Glenn would have to explain it to me how moving on from Aaron Rodgers is the best football decision for the New York Jets. Because I don't see it. I see losing without him. Now, you could lose with him. Nothing's a guarantee. And I suppose they could win without him. But this rookie head coach, he's got to get off on the right foot. And giving this defensive-minded head coach with no experience and a young, inexperienced offensive coordinator, giving them some young quarterback to mold or a veteran quarterback who's not nearly as good as Aaron Rodgers and expecting him to fix everything else around that and still build a winner is a tough ask. And if you think Jet fans were so impressed with that opening press conference that the noise isn't going to get loud around a team that doesn't compete in a division with the Buffalo Bills, I think you're going to be in for a rude awakening when people aren't happy at the inept offense on the field. We're going down the same road. This is the same thing. Like, I remember Evan the day after the story broke about all the nonsense about this owner. And he's like, well, I'm actually happy this story came out because now he has to realize it's time to change. And Woody Johnson even came out and said, listen, yeah, I need to look in the mirror and I need to be a better owner. And again, I'm hoping this wasn't his decision. I'm hoping it was AG's decision. But he leads the franchise as the owner. And the franchise is doing the same things it's been doing for forever. It's hiring rookie, inexperienced coaching staffs and giving them a bad situation at the quarterback position. I have a real tough time understanding why the Jets are doing this. I think it's a mistake, and I think they're going to live to regret it.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hi, Mustard on the beat.
BT's out back on the fan. We'll get to the Super Bowl coming up in about, I don't know, 25 minutes or so. Somewhere around there, we'll talk all things Super Bowl. And it was an awful Super Bowl, but there was obviously a Giants angle to it, so we could have some fun with that and all the different layers that yesterday brought. But we're talking Aaron Rodgers to start things off here. Now, we mentioned that, BT, you know, we think that Rodgers being back, like, I would have brought Rodgers back, you would have brought Rodgers back, I would have brought him back under different circumstances. I still think under these circumstances with Glenn and Mucci, I understand it, and I think it's the right decision for the Jets. Now is the right decision then to make it a, I hate to even say total rebuild, but are we looking at a rebuild here with this Jets team?
I don't know what they're thinking, but what I'm thinking is it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to give, you know, Sauce, so I mean, both of them certainly, but Sauce, whether it's $100 million in the highest paid corner or Garrett Wilson, you know, top five, top six, even maybe more than that, because it's really just a timing thing when you're up and when you get paid. You know, Eli at one point was the highest paid quarterback. He was never the best quarterback. So it really just depends when you're up, but he's going to get a ton guaranteed. And I'm okay with that if Aaron Glenn and Muji and the staff watch the film and they're like, oh, yeah, we can tweak something with Sauce. He really is that good. Oh, yeah, Garrett Wilson, he really is that guy. If they determine that, that's fine. But then understand you are now in the last year where they're on their rookie deal before year five. And to pay them an exorbitant amount of money with no quarterback plan seems counterproductive.
See, I think, though, that it doesn't have to be. I know we like it black or white, clear it out, right? Either rebuild or try to win games now. What Aaron Glenn and Muji are trying to do is build a foundation, change the culture. And I hate even using that term because it's so played out. But it
matters.
Okay, but it's real in this particular case. And if you bring in guys that can be an asset to the organization, I'm not even just talking about on the field, I'm talking about in the front office, of course, but then bring in players who buy in and want to play as a team, you don't need to have the most talent. You get guys that buy in on what you're trying to do, and you get them to play hard, play the game the right way, you will win games like that. Now, can you win 12 games? Probably not. But can you win 9 or 10? Yeah, even with a quarterback that is not as good as Aaron Rodgers, even at this particular point.
I agree with that.
I'm not, like, those financial decisions for Sauce and Garrett, that's a whole nother thing.
Those are massive contracts,
okay,
dude.
For me, more important than the actual numbers, which obviously are significant, it's Aaron Glenn and Muji identifying them as either good culture guys or not. And I think that there's at least some doubt for each of them, like, we don't know. They've been involved in a bad culture, and they've each had, you know, some like selfish kind of things happen here. Now, doesn't mean that Glenn can't turn them into the same way that Parcells made the most of Keyshawn, right? Why can't Aaron Glenn do that for either Sauce or Garrett or both of these guys? Now, again, figuring out how to pay them, that's a Muji issue here. But I don't know if I just say just because they're moving on from Rodgers that we're looking at a total rebuild.
No, I don't think it's a total rebuild, but it's just not. It's not conventional necessarily. You know, what are you going to do? So is it going to be like I mean, listen, if Kirk Cousins is quarterback in this team, I'm going to lose my mind next year. It better not be Kirk Cousins, dude. There's no way it could be him. So to me, there was a lot of value, Sal, and we'll run through the names more extensively in a bit.
You think Cousins a better culture guy than Rodgers?
Culture guy, maybe, but I don't think he can move. I don't think he can throw in the wind. He's an indoor quarterback. I have no interest in Kirk.
Couldn't even throw in a dome with the Falcons.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
No. I don't think that they would think. Maybe I could see them maybe saying Jameis even more before somebody like Kirk Cousins, because at least Jameis seems to be that outward leader, kind of elevate the personalities, a little bit of culture guy. I'm not saying that Kirk is not good for culture.
Yeah.
I don't think he enhances culture, and he's not like, I don't know. I think there's other guys that maybe can get others to elevate their play, and I think Jameis is one of them, but he's also a pick six machine, so that's a problem. I don't know that there's a clear answer, but I was intrigued by, and this is why, again, I would not have done this, because I do think that there's value in, you know, let's say that Rodgers was the quarterback next year and they win 10 games. You know, these guys have to eventually play playoff games. Like, to change the culture, you got to start playing some meaningful games. And if you give the football to Tyrod Taylor and you draft somebody either at 7 or you scoot back to 12 or you move in from round 2 into round 1, you like what the Ravens did, I don't know really what their plan is, but I don't think it's going to be incredibly successful right away, which I'm fine with. But now we're just wasting these young players who suddenly won't be so young, never playing a meaningful game. And like, where are you going with that?
Yeah, I do, though, feel like you can build a winning team, again, with a ceiling on it, that can get some meaningful games for these kids, whether it be at the end of the year or even in the postseason, even with, let's say, a Tyrod Taylor quarterback. Now, it's not something I want to watch. It's not very appealing. But with the right offensive system, you run the football, run the hell out of the football. It's not like they don't have any weapons that they could do that. Hall be the feature back. Somebody's got to throw it. You get it to Garrett Wilson, let him get his catch. Like, there is a way. There's a path here. If the Jets are smart, meaning coaches and game planning and play calling, and getting these guys to buy in and play as a team, there is a way that they could have that same success that we wanted them to have with Rodgers. Won't be as easy. It'll be different, but I still think there is a path to that.
Let me ask you a question. Can you do that in the modern NFL? I know back in the day, like, Parcells was renowned for that, and really with the Jets, the greatest turnaround I've ever seen.
Well, I mean, Dable did it 2 years ago.
Yeah, true. Well, that's true. Dable did do it. That's a good example with only 15 touchdown passes. True,
I mean,
true.
Daniel Jones.
But they also went 1-4-1 in the division. Yeah. Like, I don't think that that's... But it did happen, and I'm not taking it away from them. So, yeah, you did give me an example.
And the Jets have more talent than that Giants team.
But the AFC is so much better, dude. Look at these quarterbacks you're going up against. Come on, Tyrod Taylor's going to stare down Joe Burrow or Mahomes Josh Allen or even Tua if they get their act together. They can score the football. Come on. Herbert with the Chargers with that coach. I mean,
it's a huge factor. Lamar. I understand that. No, it's a huge factor. I get it. But the AFC being stronger obviously could hurt their chance of being a playoff team. But you can have a team with the right coaches that can maximize their ability and maybe be a team that can be competitive, which is what we're hoping if they kept Aaron Rodgers. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Wayne is in, so talk it. What's up, Wayne?
Hey, how's it going? Now, I just wanted to say, you guys keep saying that who are we going to get better than Rodgers? You guys won you 5 games in 2 years. You can't find someone better than that?
Yeah, but Wayne, hold on. I think that's the very easy, and listen, don't take it the wrong way. I think that's the very lazy way to look at it, man. That is a very lazy, low-hanging fruit way to look at it. It is.
Yeah, let me just say something. I'm a Bills fan, and when the Jets were talking about getting another quarterback 2 years ago, I kept saying, I hope they get Rodgers. Because besides Tom Brady, name another quarterback over 41 that's done anything.
No, I get
I'm
it.
I'm waiting.
No, I understand. Hey, you're still waiting for your Super Bowl, by the way, too. How's that tasting? I understand. Yeah, by the way,
that'll come before you guys.
When exactly? When exactly, Wayne? I mean, we're still waiting for the great Josh Allen. He won the MVP. Can he win in the playoffs?
You know what? Hey, man, you know what? We were close this year.
I know you were.
Yeah, okay, close. What do you get for that? I mean, come on. We don't want to hear from a Bills fan talking smack about the Jets. By the way, you're right, BT. It is easy to say, well, give me a better quarterback. I guarantee you, well, I shouldn't guarantee anything, but Tyrod Taylor, Sam Darnold, like, pick a Joey stopgap quarterback. Yeah, odds are they're going to win more than 5 games in this 1 year. Same way that Aaron Rodgers, you know, we talked about, well, Zach Wilson, the offense was better with Zach Wilson when Rodgers was out. 2 years ago, and then Rodgers came back this year. Oh, look at what Zach Wilson did. So, pound for pound, though, nobody in their right mind would ever take Zach Wilson over Aaron Rodgers. And even though the results may favor whoever the next Jets quarterback is versus Rodgers, it doesn't mean that they're as good as he is.
Obviously. Listen, right. The Jets lost games because of Zach Wilson.
Right.
Early on, even though Darnold was better than Zach Wilson, going back to when Sam was first drafted, really his first Monday night game, he threw the pick six, and then he was great against the Lions. And, you know, I think people forget he was actually pretty good. Statistically, his first year was pretty good. But the Jets lost some games because of Sam Darnold. The Jets didn't necessarily lose games because of Rodgers. Now, they didn't win games because of Aaron Rodgers. That's undeniable. I'm not trying to overstate what he did. 5 wins, he literally did. That's it. That's what is on his Jets resume. 5 wins, he was the starting quarterback where the Jets won. But I ask you, did the Jets lose those games because of coaching and an inordinate amount of penalties.
Missed tackles.
No, God.
Come on. Couldn't run the football.
And they couldn't stop the run. Greg Zuerlein was a mess. He cost them 2 or 3 games early by himself. Like, really? Now, again, he didn't elevate. I'm not disputing that. But, and that's why, listen, he's a Bills fan. And I was rooting for the Bills because I really do like their fans, and I think Josh Allen's amazing. But, you know, that is a lazy way to assess the Jets season when you say, you know, because they didn't lose because of Rodgers. They lost because of the dysfunction around him.
Right, but the argument is, if I could win 5 games with you, I could win 5 games without you.
But then, yes, and I understand that. But then I would say, well, I am intrigued, or I was, because it's not happening. I was intrigued enough to see if they could win more than 5 with better coaching with Rodgers, which I almost guarantee that they would have.
Mike is in West Long Branch. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Mike?
Just short-term. Obviously, they would have been better off with Rodgers this year. The problem is you can't replace him because the dead money on the cap is like $40 million. You're talking about Sam Darnold. You can't afford those guys. You're going to end up with some, I don't even know who. I mean, Tyrod Taylor, Jameis Winston. I mean, guys that aren't even stopgap
guys. Mariota.
Right, they probably can't afford Kirk Cousins,
they
right?
They can't.
Exactly. The problem is you're going to have to start paying these younger guys.
Yep.
And you're really going to have to assess who you want on the team. They're going to get rid of a lot more.
Correct.
And add talent.
That's what I'm saying, Mike. I agree.
I would have liked to have run it back one more year, but they were delaying the inevitable on this. I mean, Rodgers, even if he was healthy, had all these guys around him, you added a little offensive line and a couple guys that could stop the run, where were we going to be? Win 10 games, maybe win a playoff game?
Right, but...
I mean, I want to see a Super Bowl.
But I also think, Mike, and thank you for the call.
Thanks,
great
Mike.
Stuff. I also think that you should not be... And, like, that's part of my counter to saying that I think this is the right move. The Jets in the building are trying to do a lot more than just have one season where they get to the playoffs.
Correct.
But for us, from a fan's perspective, who's like Aaron Glenn hasn't watched this for 15 years.
No.
Or Muji hasn't watched this. So for us, it's like, God, like there's value in enjoying a football season from start to finish and seeing your team in the postseason, which is a part of why I wanted Rodgers back.
Yes, he hasn't seen it for 15 years, but he saw it a couple of years earlier when he first got here. Yeah. He saw it as a player. He saw it for a couple of years in Detroit. So this is where you've got to trust Aaron Glenn's ability to recognize who's going to fit, who's going to, and who's not going to fit in terms of what they're trying to build. Yeah. And I do.
And just because we would like to see some semblance of a competitive year for a change doesn't mean that that's the best way to build the foundation to have the ultimate success. I still believe that if you hired Pete Carroll and Mike McCarthy or one of the other and kept Rodgers, you could have built a foundation differently than you could. But because he's an inexperienced first-time head coach and because you have the presence of Rodgers, I think ultimately this is going to end up, it is the right decision for this regime.
Well, I know we have to break, so we'll do this coming up next here, okay? Because the last thing I wanted to do was start the show and start rifling numbers at people. I broke it down, very basic, very simple. This is a roadmap in terms of dead money, designations, what the Jets could do. And once I hit everybody with the numbers, you and I can start to sort through who truly is viable to play quarterback next year based on the money.
Love that. We'll do that when we come back and continue with your calls, 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan.
So we've got a couple of teams here who need a quarterback. Shocking as this carousel continues to turn with the Jets and Giants in the most important position in football. So Rich Cimini, who of course you said has been beaten by the Jets idiot stick for many years, and that is a term of endearment, actually, with Rich Cimini. You're actually having his back in that situation.
Yeah, yes.
You're
saying that. Yeah, he's just been... He's been hit over the head with so many bad seasons that he's had to cover, so many bad stories that he's had to cover that, you know, every story that he writes now has a tinge of negativity to it.
And you can't blame him because of what he's seen.
I don't.
But this isn't necessarily a negative one. It's just him putting two and two together. So you know that Rick Spielman, who was a part of the 33rd team that was hired to help the Jets find a head coach and a general manager, was then hired after Muji and Aaron Glenn to be an advisor to the front office. And Rich says an intriguing possibility for the Jets at quarterback would be Kirk Cousins, because Rick was the one that went out and signed Kirk Cousins to that big deal when he went from Washington to Minnesota and then re-signed him again. And obviously Kirk Cousins and Rick Spielman have a really good relationship. And if you remember, the same thing happened last year with Russell Wilson when he was eventually released by the Broncos with all that money that they had to eat. So the Pittsburgh Steelers took a flyer on Russell Wilson, only had to pay him $1.2 million.
Yeah.
This is the same situation with the Atlanta Falcons and Kirk Cousins. So when you hear some of the numbers that get thrown out with Matt Stafford, what you have to pay him, and contract extension, and bringing a veteran in.
And trade.
They'll look for a trade partner with Kirk Cousins. It's not going to happen because they know that they're going to release them. They've got no use for him. No one's going to end up trading for Kirk Cousins. They're going to have to release him. And then when that happens, $1.2 million will be the salary that the new team pays Kirk Cousins. So I understand that he fell apart last year. He said he was hurt. He was injured. It wasn't him. And he's got a lot of football left. I mean, he looked really bad to get benched, I understand. But if that's true and he's got a lot of football left and he comes back healthy, $1.2 million for a guy that's had that type of success is something that you got to be interested in.
Yeah, well, is he interested in you?
I mean, he's interested in starting.
Yeah, I mean, but there are other teams out there that will be looking for a stopgap just like that.
Stopgap spot. I mean,
this is what this is. It's a stopgap spot, just like Pittsburgh's in their same situation as they were. So if it were coming down to Pittsburgh, or the Jets, which team would you play for?
The Steelers, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. The Steelers might get Aaron Rodgers. The Steelers might bring Russell Wilson back. They might bring Justin Fields back. I mean, I don't know where Kirk Cousins is on their list.
But I'd be like, the Steelers would love to pay $1.2 million for a quarterback.
Well, they just did.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I think they're a better team than the Jets and certainly a more organized team at the moment. And, you know, have a head coach, have a leader, have a defense. I mean, all that kind of stuff is there ready made for whatever quarterback they choose. And I would think that if you were Kirk Cousins, first of all, you're going into the AFC North, which means there's very little chance that you're going to actually win that division, especially with the three other teams. Well, Cleveland, I don't know what they're doing either. That's another team that Kirk Cousins has been linked to.
Yeah, but I mean, I would rather go to the Jets than Cleveland.
I think what Cleveland needs to do, they need to figure out how to trade Myles Garrett. Get, you know, right up, stay up there at the top of that draft. Draft this kid, Abdul Carter, out of Penn State. There's your other pass rusher that's replacing Myles Garrett. Get a couple first-round picks and really start to rebuild that franchise, I would think. And then they'll look for somebody to be a stopgap kind of guy. Maybe it's a Justin Fields type or something. I don't know. But I don't know where that Cleveland team is headed at the moment.
Nobody does.
They don't have a bad roster. That's the thing. They just had so many injuries, and they made that big mistake at quarterback twice.
If I told you that in the last 6 years, there's been one coach who has won Coach of the Year twice.
Kevin Stefanski.
Yeah. And you just think of the Browns as just being a hellhole forever.
I saw Kevin at that Ivy Football Foundation dinner.
Yeah, did you give him your condolences?
I did. I went up, I said, man, I'm really sorry that you have to deal with what you're dealing with. I mean, but at least I told him, I said, look, you're one of the guys that's easy to root for in the NFL because there's nothing controversial about him at all.
Yeah.
He's a damn good football coach, and he knows what he's doing. And, you know, the team, like, it just goes to show you when the coach really doesn't have much say when it comes to the roster.
Yeah.
Like, the decisions that are made. Like, maybe Baker Mayfield was getting too big for them, and maybe they couldn't handle his personality, and they figured, okay, let's bring in Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I mean, that felt like an ownership thing, right?
What kind of dope is thinking that?
And probably Jimmy Haslam. That's got to be the one.
God. I know it's not Kevin Stefanski.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just going to go along. He goes, hey, look, you can give me Deshaun Watson, the Deshaun Watson from 5 years ago. If that's the guy that we're getting, let's get him.
Yeah. And speaking of the Browns, so do you feel like this is still early in the draft evaluation process for teams or not?
I think most of these teams have scouted all of these players, and they have their boards already up.
All right, the reason I ask you this
but the combines are going to change some of these.
And a lot of these guys don't, like the top guys don't throw at the combines, or like Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward. But the reason I bring this up is Shedeur Sanders was asked, what meetings do you have with teams lined up right now? And Shedeur said the Browns and the Giants, and that's it.
Not the Titans.
Right, who have the number one overall pick.
Right.
Interesting.
Who may be interested in Cam Ward or maybe interested in Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter.
Or, that's probably it.
Yeah. Jackson Dart, maybe.
Not number one overall.
They may want to trade out of it, too. Who knows?
So I found that interesting that the Titans, at least to this point, have not reached out and requested an interview with Shedeur Sanders, who probably isn't going to throw at the combo.
Well, the other thing, too, is maybe they've been told that Shedeur doesn't want to go to Tennessee.
But he wants to go to Cleveland? He took a meeting with Cleveland.
Yeah. I
think it's pointing to the fact that the Tennessee Titans are in love with Travis Hunter. That's what I think this is. He had the guy, the VP of player personnel, talk about where we are not passing up on a generational talent. No way, no how. I mean, could that be a smokescreen? Possibly. These general managers do that all the time. But now that coupled with no meeting with Shedeur, I got to see if they have a meeting with Cam Ward. That would really be telling. But, yeah, I know there is a lot of momentum with the Giants and Shedeur. There's no two ways about it. And we've been talking about it for weeks now. But it gets even more serious if you've got, well, if Cam Ward goes one to the Titans and then if Deion allows Shedeur to go to the Browns, then the Giants could be out of luck there if they really like one of those two guys. But I don't think it's going to work out that way. I think one of those two will be available. I think Cam Ward ends up going to the Browns. I think Shedeur ends up going to the Giants.
Man, I'll tell you what, that Abdul Carter, the more and more you see of him, the more and more that this, you know, is this the next Myles Garrett that's coming out of school? Is he Will Anderson Jr. out of Alabama, who's playing for Houston? Yeah. I mean, this kid is, he's pretty damn good, man. I mean, you watch him play, you watch him go against big offensive tackles, runs around guys, rips up underneath guys, bull rushes guys.
Yeah.
I mean, he is like a cut, like just an unbelievable speed athlete.
A specimen?
He is.
A generational talent?
And I would say he is, they knew he was going to be a top 10 player, but now they're talking about him being like one of the best edge rushers coming out in the past, and, you know, just like Myles Garrett was, and just like, you know, guys that have been those can't miss players at that position.
Yeah, so we'll see if the Browns do end up trading Myles Garrett and then selecting him and saying, okay, we'll deal with a quarterback another year. We don't like one of these two guys to take. I mean, certainly a possibility.
Could the Browns trade Myles Garrett and have enough draft capital to be able to get their quarterback and Abdul Carter?
Yeah.
And maybe they got their eyes on that Jackson Dart kid from Ole Miss.
Yeah, who you know is going to end up going higher than anybody expects right now.
He's going to be a top 15 pick.
Yeah, I mean,
is my guess right now a top 15 pick.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The tweet, courtesy of @NYJet, simply says, "Thank you for everything you've given us the past 2 years. Thank you, 8. And then there's an emoji with hands. And it is a picture of Aaron Rodgers with his back to the camera and an image that says, "Thank you."
Same old Jets.
There are a lot of people who are saying, what are we thanking him for? Does every athlete ever determine or need a thank you?
Yes, they do.
Do you really think so?
No, I don't. I think it's overblown. These send-offs and these goodbyes and all this other nonsense that happens when guys leave the sport. You just leave. You leave the team.
And it failed.
It's over.
Like, it didn't work. And we could argue on whose fault it was, but it's just not needed. We don't need to thank you.
Yes.
What are we thanking him for? 5 wins? What are we thanking him for?
Yes, that.
Sports talk radio fodder for 2 years. What are we thanking him for?
There's one thing if I was going to thank him, if I was the Jets, it would be for, I don't know, providing an optimism and a belief that hadn't been there in a long time. Because, I mean, I remember going over there, that first training camp, because Nate was there and I wanted to see Nate and just what the energy was like. There were fans. It was crazy how many fans there were there. There was a palpable excitement.
Mm.
And I can't remember the last time that you felt like that.
But is that enough?
No, it's not.
I mean, yes, we were excited. I admit that.
It was winning the offseason type thing.
Right.
But it was a hell of an offseason win.
I think the thank you is more about spinning this forward than thanking him for what he did. It's, we are resetting the organization with Aaron Glenn and Moogie. How do you say his name now?
Darren Moogie.
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 Now I'm all screwed up and I see him. And I think that when you get rid of a veteran that's respected, a Hall of Famer like Aaron Rodgers, even if it's empty and means nothing, how many young players we talk about on social media, they send a little thank you, and it's just a little symbol, hey, we're a nice, good organization here. Don't be scared to come here.
I think that every franchise in this town, I'm going to try to use the correct term here. I was going to say whore it out. That's probably not appropriate, so I'm going to not use that. I thought about it out loud, but I'm not using it. They have decided to bastardize the thank you because the Nets did it for Ben Simmons last week, too. And it was like, what?
Right.
Like, what do, if you take the thank out and you insert the F word, I understand. Like, okay, I gotcha.
Right.
But what are we doing? We're thanking someone because we gave them a lot of money and there was a lot of failure for a short period of time? The whole thing feels bizarre. I did put a poll out earlier today. I was so fascinated to see what people would say. And I think there's a lot of recency bias to it. It was worded this way. So I tried to word it in the fairest way possible. I said, years from now, as you sit back and reflect on the different eras of New York Jets football, which era will you look back more fondly on? The Brett Favre era or the Aaron Rodgers era?
Not even close.
It was not even close. The answer was the Brett Favre era. And I got to tell you, and I know we're in the moment, I really disagree with that. And I disagree with that for a few reasons. Number
Why?
One. No, I'm going to tell you.
How are you possibly looking fondly at the Aaron Rodgers era? With the Jets.
I didn't say I'm looking at it fondly. I said I'm looking at it more fondly than the Brett Favre era. That was worse.
Why? Because you knew that Brett Favre was just using you?
There's a myriad of reasons. That's one of them.
Right, but if you were used and you had a good time, isn't it all right?
Did we have a good time? They collapsed down the stretch of the season.
Yeah, but you had a dead success.
Did we?
For a short period of time.
Games. They were 8-3 and they finished 9-7 and
hey,
Brett.
Wasn't his fart.
No. It was his fart. And it was his fault. Did you see his numbers the last 5 weeks of the year?
Yeah,
he threw like 8 interceptions.
He was hurt, though.
Oh,
he,
stop.
He played hurt.
Okay. You want me to checkmate you guys?
Go ahead. Checkmate him.
Yeah, because I'm sure that Aaron Rodgers is five wins and ineptitude.
I mean, you guys wanted to build Aaron Rodgers a statue for coming back from an Achilles to practice.
Hey. All I'm saying is Favre was worse. That's all I'm saying. He's worse because as much as Aaron Rodgers embarrassed the New York Jets.
You're just being the anti-Jet fan right now.
No, I'm not. I'm being real.
Because the Jet fan told you overwhelmingly.
I disagree with them. I'm allowed to disagree with my own fan base.
I thought you were the voice.
Well, no, I'm not. I'm just one guy.
2 days in a row, Evan whiffed on his own poll.
No, it's not whiffing. I disagree with them. Yeah. I disagree with the results.
You might have to give up your Jet card, dude.
I'm going to make you all feel real uncomfortable because I'm going to whip out the checkmate. That matters. I shouldn't have used the term whip out because you're about to find out.
You want to be uncomfortable? Let's hope it's the checkmate.
Aaron Rodgers embarrassed the Jets, right? Oh, Pat McAfee. Oh, he talked about vaccines. Did he ever send a picture of his genitalia to a woman the way Brett Favre did?
The way he sexually harassed
a woman?
About the chicken.
Well, no, but I mean, it was embarrassing and it was just pathetic.
Of course it was.
So, I'm sorry. That's a part of the Brett Favre story.
I thought we were keeping it just to the football.
No! What, are you guys keeping it just to football with Rodgers? We're not going to talk about all the other stuff?
I don't care about the McAfee stuff. That was entertaining to me.
I agree.
That was him manipulating the hell out of fan bases everywhere.
I agree.
That's all that was. It's actually brilliant on his part, to be honest with you.
Exactly. That's why I have a problem with it.
He got paid $1 million. At least he did when he was in Green Bay.
But I did have a problem with Brett Favre sending a picture of his genitalia.
Then put out a poll. Who's a worse person, Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers? Well, that wasn't what you said.
That's a part of the era. When you think back towards an era, it's all-inclusive, isn't it?
Yes and no. Not really.
Really?
I think it's more because I think most people don't care.
They don't care that Brett Favre did that? Okay. They don't have to care about it. I do. I thought it was disgusting. I think he's a pig.
I think we are morbidly interested in people's personal lives because it makes us feel good about our lives. And so when something bad happens in somebody else's life, it's like, oh, my God, can you believe that this happened? Oh, can you? Oh, I would never. Meanwhile, half the dudes out there are doing the same you-know-what.
Ew, are they? I think he's looking at me like I got 10 heads.
Bro. You don't want to go in that cloud.
Exactly. So you haven't been on Tinder, I guess.
Exactly. But and so, like, I get what you're saying, yes. But what I'm talking about is Brett Favre, the football player, and Aaron Rodgers, the football player.
Okay, I'll answer that, too. I'll leave that stuff out. You want me to leave that stuff out? Fine. Brett Favre collapsed in the final 5 weeks of his season.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did he have a better year than Aaron?
He showed up.
So did Rodgers. He played 17 games, bro.
Did he show up to mandatory minicamps?
Oh, stop with that. You know Brett Favre showed up in August to join the Jets. He didn't even want to be here.
No, of course
he
didn't.
And that does matter, Teak. Like, you mentioned it. Of course it matters.
By the way, if you would have said that, I would have felt okay. I would have said, all right, I get it. He was just using you because he couldn't go directly to the Minnesota Vikings.
Well, it's a part of it.
Yeah.
Like, I have a list of reasons. Now, there's a bunch of them. One of them is that. Mm-hmm. One of them is the pictures. The other one's the collapse in the final 5 weeks of the year. And you know what the other one is? Because, again, this is all-encompassing, and maybe you guys figure this differently. When the Jets decided, hey, let's get Brett Favre, there was a casualty. I don't know if anybody remembers that. The casualty with Aaron Rodgers was nothing. What was it? They traded a draft pick? The casualty in signing Brett Favre was a beloved Jet by the name of Chad Pennington. Mm. And you know where he ended up?
Miami.
The Dolphins.
Right.
And you know what ended up happening? They won the division on the final week of the year when Brett Favre continued to play like the corpse of himself. So I'm just me. I'm just a human. I may have an opinion that you disagree with and every Jet fan disagrees with, but I'm sorry. In this moment, I still get more angry. I'm still more disgusted. Mm. And I'm still more pissed off at the Brett Favre era than I am the Aaron Rodgers era. Will I think differently in 10 years? I guess it's possible. But in this moment, hell no.
You just embarrassed yourself. You just embarrassed
How's
yourself
that?
As a Jet fan. You brought up losing Chad Pennington as a reason why that was kind of like a pendulum swing. The Dolphins made the playoffs that year because they invented a play to do everything but give the ball in the quarterback's hand.
It doesn't matter.
It does matter.
No, it doesn't.
You can't use Chad Pennington winning the division when the whole reason they won the division was to avoid having the quarterback throw the ball in the Wildcat.
If Daniel Jones, even if he did nothing, like honestly, just be real about this because I don't think you get it in this case. If Daniel Jones helped, whatever, the Cowboys win the division and he didn't do anything other than look pretty, you telling me that wouldn't have bothered you a little bit? Just like a little bit?
Mm. Not in relation to comparing two quarterbacks, one of which won double the amount of games as the other 15 years later.
Excuse me?
That didn't make sense.
Okay. The whole argument is not was Favre successful. It is who was more successful as the Jet quarterback.
Is that how I phrase it? I said, well, how will you look at the era years from
look
now?
Look at era. Okay. The point is Brett Favre won double the amount of games, essentially, than Aaron Rodgers did as Jets quarterback. That is what I'm judging it, not basing it on Chad Pennington happened to be along for the ride with the Miami Dolphins. Like, that would never be a tiebreaker for me.
I just said this to Tiki. I'll say it to you again. There's a myriad of reasons. Like, I'm moving from reason to reason because it isn't just one thing. Like, get it? It's not just the pictures. It's not just the collapse. It's not just Chad Pennington. It's everything. And I'm sorry. Here's the other factor. And I know that Rodgers played meaningless games at the end of the mm-hmm. season. I can't get over the way he collapsed down the stretch. They were 8-3. And he threw 8 interceptions in his last 4 games and threw 1 touchdown pass. Do you remember any of this?
Yes, I do.
It was bad.
Right.
Okay.
It was really, really, really bad. So I'm just telling you, and again, I do not speak for every Jet fan. I can't. We're all different people. I'm telling you how I feel. And hopefully, or maybe 10 years from now, I'll look back at it differently. When I think of Favre, I get disgusted.
All right.
I really do. I'm sorry.
So if Aaron Rodgers doesn't throw 3 interceptions in London, gets his head out of his rear end versus Denver, dare I says beat a Niner team that ended up being very vulnerable and actually built the resume Favre had, maybe he would have collapsed down the stretch. But now you're punishing Favre for building a big enough early season and being hurt and trying to play through it.
And guess what?
It seems crazy to me.
The injured playing through it is stupid because Aaron did the same thing. So mm-hmm. I don't want to hear about that. As far as punishing him for the early success, I'll admit it. Yeah. I'm sorry. The way things end matter. They were 8-3 and they finished 9-7. The way you finish matters.
Right.
And he was so bad down the stretch, he was better off saying, don't play me. I'm a detriment to the team. And they lost a division to the Dolphins. Like, all of that matters. And that's why I'm just being honest and answering it. I'm not saying 75% of people are wrong. I think they're also being really emotional on the moment of today. They're reacting to the now. I'm telling you that looking back on it, Favre still makes me sick.
And Evan hasn't mentioned it because I think he thinks we're going to make fun of him. So I'll mention it, and it's not trolling. The moment on Monday Night Football running out with the American flag is an iconic moment in New York sports history, Jets history. It is. I mean, obviously, we know what happened after it. But if you just take that moment, much like you would take Tommy DeVito's moments, maybe they're one-hit wonders, Sean, that moment alone is better than anything Brett Favre ever did. So if you just take that moment, you could say, you know what? Because I think there are young Jet fans that see that and went, you know what? That was really cool.
It was cool.
The rest of the movie sucked, but guess what? The first scene was the best first scene in the history of movies.
I think I completely agree with that, and I'll add one more thing that also matters. Going back to the very first thing Tiki said, because it does matter the more I think about it.
Go ahead.
One guy wanted to be here. The other guy was held captive here.
Mm-hmm.
Brett Favre never wanted to play here. He never wanted to be here. He had no other choice. Aaron Rodgers said it a year and a half ago. I plan on playing football, and I plan on being a New York Jet. And you could twist that however you want and say, well, he had no other choice. He wanted to be a Jet, and that matters. And you know why you shouldn't laugh of all people,
no,
Sean?
No, because come on, Evan.
I'll tell you why you shouldn't
laugh.
You
can't preemptive twist that. That is literally what happened. He didn't have any other offers.
He wanted to be a Jet.
He didn't come here. Because he wanted to play football for a team that wanted him.
He wanted to be a Jet.
He really didn't have anywhere else to go, though.
But that is an amazing swerve, bro.
It's not a swerve. It's what happened. He wanted to be a Jet. Just like Sean, and this is where you're a hypocrite.
Go ahead.
Durant wanted to be a Brooklyn Net, and you appreciate him for that, do you not?
Yes, but...
So what the hell's the difference?
Evan.
Sean.
Kevin Durant wanted to come to New York and play for... He didn't want to play for the Knicks. The Knicks would have, and we know this, gladly signed him. We have proof that Kevin Durant would have had other options. There was zero interest in Aaron Rodgers on the Jets.
We know that for sure. We're assuming that. And I understand why you guys think that, but do we really, really know that there were no other options for Aaron Rodgers? Do we know that?
We didn't hear of any. I didn't hear of any other potential landing spots other than the Jets. I know we speculated a lot about it, but what the Jets had to do contract-wise, which delayed this thing almost to the start of training camp, and other teams looking at that probably said, no, thank you. For an aged quarterback who has historically been a little bit of a pain in the butt. Not that he's a bad teammate, but he's just a pain in the butt. No thank you. And so I don't think he had a lot of options.
Do you think he has options right now?
I'm sure there's one or two.
Okay. I find it hard to believe that Aaron Rodgers would have more options today than he did 2 years ago.
Well,
I know the trade's a factor. I get that. But nevertheless.
He's free this year.
It matters a little bit.
No, it matters a lot.
But if you want the player, you want the player.
Because so much of his deal, and I don't remember the exact specifics, but so much of his deal was actual money. It wasn't signing bonus.
Mm.
It was like due money. And if you trade for him, that comes to you. If he gets cut, like he's going to be cut now, I'm not sure if it's... Connor says he thinks it's the June 1 deadline. Connor Hughes says the June 1 cut, which is $14 million on the cap this year, $35 million next year, as opposed to the cut immediately, which is $49 million on the cap right away. It's just easier to swallow if he's free. And I'm just telling you.
Gotcha.
It's true, though.
No, everything you said was true. I agree with you.
Out of context, it's true.
We will get into later the idea that the Jets are making a mistake using the June 1st way to cut Aaron Rodgers, because I got a problem with that. But we'll get to that a little bit later on. And also tomorrow, because I want to give everybody a day to think about it. Tomorrow, we will do our Aaron Rodgers next team predictions. Now, my prediction already is that he's not going to play with anybody. I made that as a prediction at the beginning of this year.
I remember that, actually.
So it's kind of up to you guys if you want me to just say, nope, it's nobody. Or if I have to pick a team, pick a team. That's up to you guys and how you want to play that game. So
prediction.
I think sitting on his couch is actually a team.
Okay, good. Yeah. Then that's totally fine. I will stick with that, but we'll make that tomorrow. 888-808-1019. Lou's in Bayside. Hey, Lou.
Hey, guys. How are you?
What's good?
Good. Listen, Evan, this take you got about Rodgers and it's leaving a bad taste in your mouth. Favre leaves a bad taste in your mouth. Let me tell you something. We were a Rodgers away from winning the Super Bowl. We were never a Favre away from winning the Super Bowl. So I have
have no bad taste in my mouth from Favre leaving. And to tell you the truth, I got no bad taste of Rodgers leaving. But to say that, like, Favre bothers you that much more, again, we were built Rodgers. We were a Super Bowl away from Rodgers. Wouldn't you be more upset about that? That we didn't deliver the Super Bowl?
In terms of not accomplishing what I was dreaming about, of course. Absolutely. This was a failed experiment.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I would put it above the net failure. I think it was worse. Actually, no. Yes, it was. Because at least the net failure gave you a little bit of hope. There was never hope with Aaron Rodgers other than him waving the American flag.
Yeah, the Nets made the playoffs. They didn't make the Eastern Conference Finals or get to the finals or actually win a championship.
But they actually did the playoffs. Yeah. Like, Aaron Rodgers was never even in a playoff race.
Right.
Like, if you're just barring it out and measuring it, and I think I'm uniquely qualified to answer the Nets-Jets question.
I think the Nets thing pisses you off because if it what happens if you get another shot?
Right.
And it just never materialized.
Well, you know what I think the difference is, and you're right. I think with the Nets, there were circumstances beyond our control that ended it.
Yeah.
In 21, they got brutalized injuries. James Harden was bad luck. Giannis Antetokounmpo was a dirty player who injured Kyrie Irving. Injuries stopped them. If they didn't get hurt, they were winning an NBA championship. Everybody knows it. The following year, the rules around the pandemic blew the team apart.
Yep.
With the Jets, this season was closure because there were no excuses. Aaron Rodgers was playing. Like, year one, there were excuses. He didn't play. He got hurt four plays in. But this year was the closure of, wow, it was a failure. I think with the Nets, there was always that, well, it could have worked. It should have worked. It may have worked. But even though the expectations were higher for Rodgers, my point is the Favre thing bothers me more as I sit here today. Like, yeah, there were higher expectations in 2020. Why are you laughing? You think I'm funny now, too?
No, I just don't know why Brett Favre bothers you more.
Because of the way it ended.
Yeah.
Because he didn't want to be there.
Yeah, but it felt like he overachieved. And Aaron Rodgers, it's his fault because he got hurt, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It was like a gross underachievement to the expectation.
Yes. Real quick, because this guy wants to yell at me, and that's always fun. Chris in Oakdale, you're mad at my opinion?
Yeah, I don't like it, Evan. I don't like it. I was 12 years old with Brett Favre, and that was a pretty happy time being a Jets fan, you know?
No! Like, it was happy!
Yeah.
We blew an 8-3 record and had the Dolphins win the division in our own building!
That was terrible. I was at that game.
Against
the Dolphins when I was 12. It was awful. It was awful, but overall, that era of Jets football
sounds
better than what we are going through right now.
I know what you're doing. I know what you're doing, and it's a cheat code. I know what he did. He cheat coded it.
What did he do?
The Favre era ends in disgrace, right?
Yes.
They get rid of him. They fire the coach. They blow it all up. They responded by hiring Rex Ryan, drafting Mark Sanchez, and immediately going to the AFC Championship game. If Aaron Glenn and Kirk Cousins, or Aaron Glenn and you insert quarterback, lead the Jets to the AFC title game, then that would up the Rodgers era.
Right.
It's that they recovered so nicely off of the Favre era.
That's exactly what it is. But, I mean, I could see why you could think that.
But think about what he just said. He said it was a good time to be a Jet fan.
Afterwards.
Yeah.
Right, if you get Cooper Flagg and Giannis next year, I'm not giving credit to KD and Harden and Kyrie.
I'm not either. That's why I don't give credit to the Brett Favre
era. But
that's
what that caller is saying, that Brett Favre basically handed you back-to-back AFC championships.
Don't you take it that that's what he said?
Yes, but you're talking about an era versus an era, not what happened after.
So you agree with me?
I do agree with you.
Thank you, Tommy.
I also think there's something you're not saying here.
Go ahead.
You think Aaron Rodgers wants to be a Jet and the owner doesn't want him here, and they want to get rid of him. And Favre didn't want to be here. I think that's in the back of your mind here.
It's not about the today moment, because I think the today moment is about the Jets deciding if they want him back. It was the moment when he came here. Aaron Rodgers wanted to be here. I don't care about today. Today's about Aaron Glenn.
Yeah.
It's about his decision. It was that Aaron Rodgers wanted to be a Jet. Brett Favre came here kicking and screaming. And then, by the way, you can't dispute that. Like, I understand the whole point of, well, Rodgers didn't have another choice. Okay. Favre didn't have another choice. He still came here kicking and screaming.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It was still.
But he was really good for a little while. I think that's the difference.
So there's an Instagram post, some NFL account, and it's trending. It says trending Aaron Rodgers and the Pittsburgh Steelers. And it's got the Steelers logo, and it's got a smiling Aaron Rodgers in a Jets uniform. And it says the Steelers are the favorites to land Aaron Rodgers. So Deshaun Elliott of the Pittsburgh Steelers, he leaves a comment on this post. So you'd think, okay, maybe he wants Aaron Rodgers. Remember Bryce Hall and Sauce Gardner and all those guys with the cheese head, and they were doing all sorts of voodoo to try to get Aaron Rodgers to the Jets. So you think of Deshaun Elliott, man, after the issues that they had at quarterback, maybe he'd be doing the same thing.
Right.
Well, he did not. He wrote on the comment, quote, leave his ass at the retirement home.
Wow.
So if the Steelers were interested in Aaron Rodgers, Omar Khan, the GM over there, is going to have a conversation with Deshaun Elliott. Quote, leave his ass at the retirement home.
He must be buddies with Justin Fields. That's what I think.
Well, not Russell Wilson. No one's buddies with him in the locker room, right? Yeah, maybe. Could be. Or maybe he just thinks that Aaron Rodgers is done. Doesn't like the stuff he says in the interviews.
Yeah, I mean, oh, man. Why would a guy that is, like, little known even do something like that? Why not just get ready to come back to the Steelers, be a good teammate, and whatever the front office decides, you got to support it.
Yeah.
Even though you may not like it. I mean, like, there were times where, two times in my career where, well, we didn't have social media, but, you know, you got to bite your tongue, and you just got to just grin and bear it and move on and try to deal with whatever the front office is doing.
Yeah, so Quinnen Williams, when the news was out there, put the big thumbs down and said, I guess we're going through another rebuild, and then he deleted that stuff. So he was a guy who was in support of Aaron Rodgers coming back, but Deshaun Elliott not happy about the Aaron Rodgers potential pursuit by the Pittsburgh Steelers. So,
well,
yeah.
Maybe Deshaun Elliott will find himself somewhere else next year. Who knows?
Well, if Aaron Rodgers comes in as the quarterback of the Steelers, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Is he going to really... Does he really want to play? That is a question that we don't have the answer to.
Yeah, he does. I mean, it's hard to, you know, where else is he going to make $35, $40 million is what I want to know.
Yeah, well, it's some.
You could say that maybe he's made so much money it doesn't matter, but, you know, guys still like getting paid, especially if you're going to go to a team that you think you can win with.
Well, he also needs to believe in the fact that he could stay healthy for a full season and play at a high level still.
Well, he did this past year, and I mean,
he didn't. He did not stay healthy the entire season
He played through injury, and he didn't miss any time.
Okay. Well, he probably should have with the way he played in some of those games.
Yeah, like early on, I told you he had that hamstring, and that was really bothering him, and you could see it when he was playing, but I give him credit. He was out there playing, and, you know, sometimes we just overlook that. It's like the Eli Manning deal. You know, he got played in 220 straight games. That's insane.
Yeah.
Guy was always there. Didn't always have his best game, that's for sure, but you could always count on him being there. And that's one thing I give Aaron Rodgers a lot of credit. He made it through a 17-game season after coming off an Achilles. You know, Kirk Cousins didn't.
Well, he got benched. Yeah.
Well, he got benched.
Yeah.
I mean, because they had an alternative. Well, the Jets really didn't have an alternative here.
Even though the owner wanted to bench him, allegedly.
Because he was hurt. That's the thing. I think when people say that what he said in the middle of the year, well, why don't we bench him? It's not that. See, that's the wrong word. What the word should have been had Woody done that right, instead of saying, oh, just bench a guy because I'm an impetuous and impatient owner. Like, if he's hurt, maybe we need to protect him and sit him down for a couple weeks so we can get him back, and then he can play at full speed as opposed to playing at 75%. But that's what should have been said. But the way that it was either delivered or the way that it was reported, it was like he was, you know, the impatient, impetuous owner that he has been. And that's why he said at Aaron Glenn's press conference, I'm going to be a better owner. So maybe that means that, you know, the teenagers aren't going to be, like, impactful.
Yeah.
Like Aaron Rodgers said they were when he joked on Pat McAfee, this will be a first, I'll be released by a teenager. And that is why they told him, if you're coming back, you're not doing that anymore.
Yeah.
And he embarrassed the owner and the owner's family.
Indeed. And that was, you know, what's interesting about that, too, is he has always refuted the Diana Rossini stuff. always. And that was from a Diana Russini report. So when it benefited him to take a shot at Woody Johnson and his kids, then that Diana Russini report was good as gold to him, right? But when it's about him, then all of a sudden it's like, they're lying and nobody knows me. I don't have any friends. Nobody talks.
See, but what Aaron found out, unfortunately, and what we always try to talk about here, is that's what playing here is all about. There's going to be leaks. There's going to be reports. It's happened to the Giants. It's happened to the Jets. It's happened to the Knicks. It's happened to the Mets. It's happened to the Yankees. I mean, it happens to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
That somewhere, somehow, one of these reporters, somebody covering the team, is going to be able to get some information that's going to be put out in the public domain, and then we're all going to be able to comment on it. And that's the thing that nobody sees until they get here and they have to live through it. And you got to fight through it. And that's why, like, Derek Jeter and even Aaron Judge, to a certain extent, are guys who know how to stay out of it. They stay out of that crap. They don't get embroiled in that crap. And a lot of it has to do with their success on the field.
Yeah. I mean, and I also think, too, that if he were to stay, them saying, the new Jets brass saying, you can't do that interview any longer, isn't just them like flexing on Aaron Rodgers and saying who the boss is. It's being smart, because as we saw this entire year, and something that you said before even a game was played last year, is that everybody's going to be tired of this nonsense if they don't win. And it's not just the interview on Tuesday. It's the stuff he says in the interview. Then all his teammates get asked about it the next day, and the coach. And this happened in Pittsburgh with Ben Roethlisberger, if you remember. He had a Tuesday radio spot where he would just unload everything during that radio spot.
Yes.
And then everybody would bring it to Mike Tomlin. So the way it worked out was great for entertainment purposes, not great for the Steelers. He had his hour-long interview every Tuesday at 11. Mike Tomlin had his press conference every Tuesday at noon. So all the reporters would listen to what Ben said, and then they'd bring it to Mike Tomlin, and Mike Tomlin's like, I'm not commenting on this radio show. He would get so mad at it. So it's not just Aaron Rodgers saying that stuff. It's the organization having to deal with all of the debris that he had in the interview.
That's why when I did it with Mike and Chris,
yeah,
I did it on Fridays.
Smart.
I got away from all of it. I got away from the last game, and it was more about moving to the next game. And those guys would like to pepper me about the last game, but, you know, it was easy for me to say, you know, I'm on to
sure, of course,
the next game. And the last year was, there was a lot of, you know, it was interesting. It was good radio for sure. You know, they were attacking me, and I was fighting back.
Sure.
And rightfully so. I mean, we had a 3-13 season.
Mm-hmm.
So it was not easy to do it. So I understand why guys do it, and I appreciate the fact that they do. They actually make extra money. We would make extra money back in the day.
And he's making $1 million.
At least a million.
From Pat McAfee and ESPN and whoever else is paying him.
He helped put that show into the reality sphere of sports reality. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know, that's when Pat was running that whole thing. And when you could sell it to ESPN and let them run, you know, pay for all the underneath stuff that you don't have to deal with anymore,
mm-hmm.
and just be the personality that Pat is, and then have Aaron Rodgers on there. I mean, that's what ESPN paid for.
Sure, absolutely. And it's a great partnership for their show, because they get to trot all the personalities through there, you know, with Bill Belichick was a part of it, and you had, the Schefters and the Orlovskys and everybody else that they can run through there with the partnership with ESPN. So I like the fact that I'm steadfast in the fact that I don't like the inexperience with the coaching staff and the front office. However, we got to get over that. I can't just keep saying that over and over again. But there's a lot of things that they're doing that makes me feel like they recognize that this is a different job.
This is I'm going to go back to it. It's the Parcells influence on Aaron Glenn. And it'll be the Sean Payton influence on Darren Mooji. And it will show how the head coach is going to control the franchise, and they're going to try to keep as many people off of X and posting and interviews and daily interviews. They're going to talk about, this is about football. Your job is football. Your job is to come here and commit to the team. Your job is to come here and form a bond that nobody can break. And that's going to be the message. And you will not see a lot of players that are going to be all that available. I'm telling you.
Yeah, and that's something that I always criticize Rob Saleh for, is he was too much of a friend in those situations. He let those guys put too much out there on social media that created talking points. He himself would put his foot in his mouth at least once a month. So that stuff has to change, and it feels like they recognize that. Now, whether Woody Johnson told them or, you know, some of the people that are there in the PR department, whatever, as long as they understand that, that is a great start. Because you know, when you're in San Francisco and you're with the 49ers as a defensive coordinator and something happens over there, it just does not, it's not the same thing. That is a legacy organization with multiple Lombardis. They win every year. If someone says something silly on social media, it's there for a day, whatever, and it's like, they're like, effing Niners, yeah, we love you. And then they go win a game and beat the piss out of somebody, and there you go. Right? With the Jets, it's just, you know, cesspool, 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 and you can't have these distractions.
And this was why Aaron Glenn will come in, and he'll try to replicate what Parcells did. Now, it was a long time ago when Parcells was able to do that, and Parcells had the rings and had the cachet and the credibility to stand up there in front of a 1-15 team and basically said, this is the way we're going to do it. And if you don't follow it, your ass is going to be shoved out of here. So you either follow me or you're gone. And it's amazing what an ounce of discipline can do for a football team, because they did have a good roster because they spent all that money on free agency, you know, and Bill ended up drafting Keyshawn Johnson. So believe me, Keyshawn was not an easy personality to handle.
Yeah.
But he handled it. Mm. You know, just like Lawrence wasn't an easy personality to handle. But they had a good enough team, and Parcells knew who Lawrence was, and he got the best out of him. So I think that's exactly what Aaron Glenn has to do here now for the Jets. He's got to try to replicate that, but he has to do that with this generation of player.
And I thought about this last night, because yesterday I wasn't ready to get to the who's next part. It was more marinating on the decision that they made to move on from Aaron Rodgers. And so I thought about it last night, and I kept racking my brain. And I don't know if there's a perfect answer.
Sam, bring back Sam.
No.
Bring back Sam.
I like Sam,
but
he's not the perfect answer. Nor am I giving him a 4-year contract with a lot of guaranteed money.
My bad.
I want to describe to you what I want.
Okay.
And then maybe you can help me out. Okay? I want to go into next year with a chance to win, but also a chance to see my future quarterback. I need the future to start to begin next season. I need to have a guy on this roster, doesn't mean he has to start right away, but a guy on this roster who we can envision as being the starting quarterback for the next decade. Okay. I don't want simply a Band-Aid. I want somebody on this roster next year who we all can look at, even if he's holding a clipboard to start, and say, that can be our long-term answer. That can be our forever quarterback. So I start there. I want that. Now, is that guy simply in the NFL draft? Obviously, when you draft a guy, especially in the first or second round, and use a premium draft pick, the hope is, yes, that guy's going to be around for 10 years. Is that guy available via trade or free agency? I can still kind of squint my eyes a little bit, look at Justin Fields, and say, I can kind of see it. So is Justin Fields that guy? You mentioned Sam Darnold. I'll mention him for the sake of this conversation. Sam is still young. Can you squint your eyes at Sam Darnold and say, you know what? He can make it work. Second time around in New York City. Can he make it work? You yesterday mentioned Kirk Cousins. Here's my issue with Kirk Cousins.
Go ahead.
He's a walking corpse. He could tell me all he wants about how hurt he was last year. Okay, well, what about next year?
Yeah.
He's in his late 30s. He's coming off an Achilles and then a year in which he wasn't healthy.
That was two seasons ago.
Okay, last year he wasn't healthy.
No,
that was his excuse for failures.
Yeah, but so was the excuse for Aaron Rodgers. Like, he was coming off an Achilles.
And he's gone.
And of course he's gone, but he's 40, going to be 41 years old. Kirk Cousins is 36 years old. So he's not even close to being over and washed, so to speak. Now, I think
he's played like he's over and washed.
He'll be 37 next season. When the season starts, he'll be 37.
Yeah, but wait a second. Based on his play, you're right about the age. Hasn't he played like he's over and washed last year? He led the league in interceptions.
At the end of last season, he was bad. I mean, he started, actually, he was bad for a lot of the season from the interception perspective. He week three through four.
Yeah.
Right? And then at the end of the season, it was like every week he was throwing an interception. And so, yeah, I mean, it looked bad, especially when you look at the touchdowns. If you're throwing 45 touchdowns and you have 16 interceptions like he did, it's probably okay. It's just you're throwing the ball a ton. But when you have 18 touchdowns and 16 interceptions, it tells you that something is falling off the edge a little bit. But, I mean, to me, Kirk Cousins is a winner, and he's won wherever he's gone, including in Washington when that place was a dumpster fire.
Mm.
And so leaving Washington, going to Minnesota, winning double-digit games a couple of times, making the playoffs a few times, he just feels like a good bridge to me. I'm not saying he's your guy, because I think you're right. You do need whoever that young quarterback is, whether you trade for some backup on somebody else's team. Joe Milton, I'll keep bringing him up. It's not happening for you guys.
But no, clearly not.
But trade for some other young quarterback on somebody else's team, or pick up one of these guys that's been discarded, like Justin Fields, or you draft one.
Right.
And look, there's a couple of guys that are interesting in this draft that could fall, that could be available to the Jets. The top two are not, but Jalen Milrow could be. Jackson Dart could be. Quinn Ewers could be. So there's some young players, but you need one of those if you're going to bring in a guy like Kirk Cousins.
Well, Kirk Cousins, like you described, is a bridge, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm okay with
but
a bridge.
But he's also got to understand that he's a bridge.
Well, of course he
and
has to.
I think
to.
In Atlanta, he didn't understand that he was a bridge.
Well, in New York, if you come to the New York Jets, at least my vision, I don't know Aaron Glenn's vision, I can only tell you my vision, is if you're coming here as a veteran quarterback, you are a bridge. Because now I want the long-term answer.
Yeah.
If you're not running it back with Aaron Rodgers for the myriad of reasons we've talked about, then you've got to go find your long-term answer. And obviously, long-term answers aren't growing on trees in free agency.
No.
Even Justin Fields, it would be his third different team. You're just hoping that this is the time where he turns in to that franchise quarterback. But you just said something that I respectfully disagree with you on.
Go ahead.
You said the top two quarterbacks are unavailable to the New York Jets in the NFL draft.
Okay.
You're wrong about that,
Why
sir.
Why am I wrong?
I'll explain.
Are you trading with the Giants?
I'm not trading with the New York Giants.
Are you trading with the Tennessee Titans?
I think it's on the table.
Are you trading with the Cleveland Browns?
I think the Tennessee Titans and the Cleveland Browns are on the table. More
Why?
So Tennessee, because Ian Rappaport reported over the weekend they may trade the number one overall pick. So if they're willing to listen on the number one overall pick, I could tell you right now that the Jets have something to offer that the New York Giants can't.
Which is?
The Jets have something to offer that the Las Vegas Raiders can't.
Which is?
The New York Jets, and this is where you got to be sold on Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders. I happen to be a bigger fan of Cam Ward. That's just me personally. You have to really believe he's the answer.
Mm.
And if you believe
right.
he's the answer,
you can't miss.
You can't miss, especially with what I'm about to say.
Go ahead.
You can't miss.
Go ahead.
If you truly believe Cam Ward is the answer, and the Tennessee Titans are not just, you know, whatting us around, like they're really going to listen on trading the number one overall pick, the New York Jets have three different Pro Bowl caliber players who they could very well move, who they could very well say, you know what? We hate to give up talent, but to get to number one and draft our future quarterback, this will be worth it.
But doesn't that make you worse?
Does what make me worse?
Trading, say, whoever.
Well, Garrett Wilson. You know the three. Gardner. It's Garrett Wilson, Sauce Gardner, and Quinnen Williams.
Right.
You could throw
Breece Hall in there as well.
You could throw Breece Hall in there, sure.
Probably less.
Value. He's a running back.
Yeah.
I hate to insult the running back position.
And it is what it is.
And he's your favorite Jet, so I'd hate to do that to you. And look, this would be a difficult decision to make, to take a talent like Quinnen Williams, who's been here for 5.5, 6 years now, who's become a Pro Bowl caliber player, and trade him. It would be even more difficult to take Garrett Wilson because you want to give that young quarterback some badass weapons. Garrett Wilson is one of them.
He might be off my list.
Yeah, I would put him at the bottom. I wouldn't want to deal him. Sauce Gardner coming off a bad year. I still think he's better than the way he played last year, and I think Aaron Glenn is going to get more out of him. This is not ideal, but the one thing about trades is they're going to hurt, man.
Mm.
You want to get something really good, they're going to hurt. They're going to sting. And that is a weapon the Jets have. If they believe, if Darren
Moogie
and Aaron Glenn believe in Cam Ward, believe in Shedeur Sanders, you damn right they could go up to number one overall. And I'm at the point where if they're moving on from Rodgers, which they are, I want the long-term answer.
Yeah.
I want to find that guy.
And they have a chance to do that. So, look, you mentioned Jalen Milroe, who I'm not ruling out. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Jackson Dart. I'm not ruling those guys out. Right. And that would be a lot easier to just draft someone with your own pick instead of trading Pro Bowl caliber players to move up. It's not ideal, but everything, Teak, is now on the table because they need to find a quarterback.
Yeah.
It's all on the table.
Well, the question is are the Jets like the Giants? Meaning the Giants feel at this stage like there's a desperation to win. Simply because you're protecting your job
mm-hmm.
as the general manager and as the head coach. At least trying to protect your job as a general manager and the head coach based on what John Mara said at the end of the season. But is the same apply for the Jets? Is there an urgency to win? Now, I know for Aaron Glenn, you always want to start your career as a head coach with a winning season. It gets you off on the right foot and buys you some equity with the fan base, with the doubters, those that kind of love to see failure. I'm not talking about Jet fans in particular. I'm just saying people in general, they love to see failure. So if you have success right away and you have an urgency about it, it'll carry you for a few years.
Right, right.
And so is it the same for the Jets as it is for the Giants?
No.
The Giants, I think, are in desperate situations to find a quarterback. There is not one. They don't have one.
Right, right.
Like, literally, they don't have one on their roster right now.
I think that the Jets and the Giants, despite intersecting in this weird time in history, because mm-hmm. this is really odd in Jet and Giant history,
right,
both franchises need a quarterback.
Right.
There are three quarterbacks, once Rodgers is cut, that's still property of the local teams. Tommy DeVito, Tyrod Taylor, and Jordan Travis. And with all due respect to those three guys, I mean, I like Tyrod Taylor, and there's certainly a road to where he's the week one starting quarterback. He's obviously not the long-term answer for the Jets.
Right.
Jordan Travis is someone who's trying to come off of an injury.
Right.
We have no idea what he is, and as much as it's a cute story, Tommy DeVito's Tommy DeVito. So we have these two franchises intersecting at the same time, but to answer your question, they're in completely different situations.
Yeah.
Because the pressure to win on the New York Giants comes squarely from an owner who's sick of losing, and for a general manager and head coach that need to win to save themselves.
Right.
In the Jets' case, like, listen, as a fan, do I want to win next year? Of course I do. I always want to win, and I think the Jets are better equipped to win next year with the roster that they have. But they've got to make smart decisions for the long term.
Yeah.
I want the long-term answer. Like, they tried the quick Band-Aid fix with Aaron Rodgers. I was all for it. It failed. So what I want now is I want to swing for the fences. I want to find their franchise quarterback. I want to find that guy.